When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Hey, everybody. This is a preview of today's members episode. If you want to hear the whole thing, head on over to theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the join button, and become a member today.
Merkel Media.
This was all circulating around the base that a giant had been killed, but no one was supposed to talk about it.
I saw three long bony fingers reach up underneath the door, curl up to grab it, and then disappear.
When he came over to me, dude, he slithered over to me.
And this giant comes out of the cave and they're all frozen. And he starts running and firing at this giant. But the giant moves. He's got a spear in one hand and he's running really fast and spears Dan and holds him up like this. Somebody yells, shoot him in the face, shoot him in the face. They basically decapitate him.
Got closer. When he got about 15 yards away from me, I raised that 12 gauge and I blow this head off.
I feel something pulling at my leg. And I look over and there are two small gray entities pulling at me. And they're literally, I'm getting pulled off the bed.
I reached my hand into this bush and I touch air. Couldn't breathe and I couldn't move because I know I'm seeing a monster.
Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to The Confessionals Podcast. I'm your host, Tony Merkel. Thanks for being here. If you have a crazy, wild experience you want to share with me on the show, go ahead and shoot me an email. My email address is contact@theconfessionalspodcast.com. That's contact@theconfessionalspodcast.com. Or go to the website, theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the contact section, and you can reach me that way as well. Either works for me, just get a hold of me. If you want to go check out merkmerch.com, I'm wearing the Like Impact t-shirt right now at Phenomicon 2024. Very excited to be here, guys. This week, we have a fantastic member episode for you. We have a guest coming on who was raised in a satanic cult in Oregon where it wasn't just her family, but it was the entire neighborhood going through these rituals. People were being sacrificed, and she comes on to talk about it today. So let's get to it right now. All right. Today we have Nora on the show. Nora, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic and I'm glad you're here. You reached out to us and you and I were just talking about the 700 Club and how you made an appearance on there. If you could, I think this would be because the audience has heard similar things. So before we even get into your actual life story, you were on the 700 Club and they had some, tech issues when it came to your story. They lost something. How'd that all unfold for you?
So the initial editor, she had called me and we were doing my testimony. She was writing it out. It took me about a week to share it with her. And then she was putting it all into format to get it ready for the team to come out and record. It had totally evaporated. It was gone. They could not find it. And so we had to do it all over again. And she said that in her 10 to 12 years working with the 700 Club, that had never happened before. So she said, you can continue if you want to, or we can drop it. Because she was trying to kind of skeptical at the time whether I should continue to pursue it. And I said, no, I'm going to do it. So it took about 6 months altogether from the time she took my testimony over the phone to it was aired on the 700 Club.
Wow. Yeah. So we've had similar things happen on the show. People have told me that, you know, hey, just to let you know, whenever I talk about this certain topic, certain things happen. I had a guy on where the morning of the interview, this was back when I was in Pennsylvania, it was about 6:30 in the morning, and we had our bedroom door open all night long so we could hear my son. And about 6:30 in the morning, the door just slammed shut. And I was like, what the heck? And I was thinking, did the AC kick on? But I was thinking, it kicked on all night long. Like it didn't shut the door like that. And then I told the guy, and he said, well, usually before an interview with me or after an interview with me, things happen to the person hosting the show. I was like, okay, that makes sense. So spiritual attack happens. and that's even with the tech side, like you, with what you experienced. I mean, my buddy Joel, he started connecting dots with some things and started going on people's shows talking about it. And he said, man, it's been like 2 or 3 shows. And every time I talk about this certain thing, people's, you know, their gears just starts going berserk and shutting down. And I didn't believe him. And I mean, I believed him, but I was like, I think you might be overreacting, you know, because like with what we do and stuff, it's just like, it's easy to get carried away and read into things too much. But I said, dude, listen, why don't you come down to my studio and we'll do this in person. We'll get the recording done. No problem. I was like, it's not gonna be that big of a deal. And we sat there, we recorded in the other studio. And afterwards I realized the entire mixer board I had got fried and it stopped working. And I was like, you gotta be kidding me. I called the company that makes it and they're like, we can't figure this out. We don't know what's wrong. So now that very mixer board sits in the studio as a decorative piece because it doesn't work. So,
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So
after I told my story with the 700 Club, 3 major things happened. So my husband left me. My son moved out. My last son moved out. So I was an empty nester. And then my mother passed away all in 8 months after I shared my testimony. Wow. So it was a very traumatic time.
Yeah. Wow. That's hopefully. After you share with me, it won't be anything remotely like that.
Yeah.
Well, yes. So to fill the audience in, the reason why you were on the 700 Club is that you were, from what I understand, born into basically a Satanist cult, right? And you were kind of raised in that environment and you went on the 700 Club to talk about it and to talk about how you came out of it. And that's what you're here to do today. In a much longer format, because the 700 Club video that I saw was 5 minutes and 50 seconds, and you said there's a lot more to it, and I was like, yeah. I'd imagine so. So if you could, I would like to just hand it over to you now and let you start from the beginning, childhood, I'm assuming, when these things started happening. What was the environment like? Where did this all start for you?
Okay. So I was raised in Portland, Oregon. And we had a very large family, yours, mine, and ours. And I was raised in a what you call the little ghetto. And so there was a lot of things that happened in that neighborhood. In my family, there was sexual abuse, witchcraft. I was introduced at an early age to seances, the Ouija board. It wasn't uncommon for us to sit around the dining room table to have seances in our home with my mom, my grandmother, and us kids. So I learned at an early age that the portal to the dark side was opened in our home and in my life. And so a family member took me to a ritual, an occult ritual. And it was in our neighborhood. It was around the corner from our house in our neighborhood where this ritual took place. It was actually at a friend of mine's father's home. And so what would happen was there was an entrance from the outside going down into the basement. And so I was taken to this ritual, not knowing, I was only 5 or 6 years old, not knowing what was going to happen. So I was actually dedicated to Satan during this ritual, and it was a horrific experience. And I remember people around the, I was on an altar, and I was pinned down, and there was a lot of occult members around me chanting, and there was like a tiki pole with a light, and on the floor was a pentagram. And so this ceremony was done on me. That was horrific. I was molested and raped and dedicated to Satan. And they had some type of bowl where they drank some blood. And that was the beginning of horrific lifetime for me. And witnessing also sacrifices too at such a young age. We were given pills, these blue pills. Now, when I look back, I think they might have been Valium that was the drug of that day, that time. We were given those pills to numb us as we watched these horrific things happen. It's something that is like a nightmare to see it take place. And so I ran away from home when I was 14. So I was raped, and this lifestyle that I was trying to make sense of, that I was living in this home with all of these practices that were insane. So I ran away from home to get away from all of it. And I ended up in an older guy's life, and he took me in, him and his family, when I was 15. And then I started leading a life that was unhealthy. I had an abortion when I was 15. I was with this older guy and trying to live a normal life, but these things followed me. The occult people followed me. They threatened my life. They killed my cat. They hung my cat. And I didn't know how to be safe because I lived fearful for my life. And so I moved away with this guy, this older guy, try to stay away from the family as much as possible. I'd re-enter their life here and there. And then, like I said, at 15, I had an abortion. The first one was 14. I didn't know who the father was. The second one was 16, and it was his. So I had that, you know, to contend with, these abortions. And then, so in my teen years, I started practicing more witchcraft, you know, tarot cards, palm readings, with being introduced to the portal of the dark side. It gives you the eye. They call it the third eye, gives you the eye to see things that the typical person doesn't see. You know, I could see into the spirit realm. I could read people's palms and tell them what had happened to them, what was going to happen to them. And it became like power. I loved the power I was having because I didn't have the power when I was a child of all these things that were done to me. So tarot cards was very popular for me, and the palm reading. And then I got into leaving my body, where I would lay there and I could leave my body and I could go places and see things. I could talk to somebody on the phone and I could tell them, and I'd never been to their house, and I could say, the color of your walls are blue. I can see this and that. So I had the power to do that. And I thought that was great. So I ended up breaking up with this guy because he was a user. And so then I started leading a promiscuous life because I had no control over my body. I didn't know how to say no. To me, sex was power. And I was taught to use my body for power. And so I went on to lead a life that was, I was using my body to lure men and to control men. But I wasn't happy. I was scared, because what happens whenever you enter the dark side, a lot of fear comes in. So I had a lot of fear in my life. I had anxiety, panic attacks. I had eating disorder. I had cutting disorder. It was like I hated myself. I hated my this body, because so much damage had been done to it. I didn't know what it was like to be loved. I didn't know what it was like to be loved by parents who protected me and wanted to take care of me and had my best interest at heart. I didn't know any of that. And so the only thing I knew was sex. So that's how I started leading my life, is having sex with numerous guys and trying to get love through sex. And so by the time I was 19, I became pregnant again. And I said, and I wasn't in a relationship. And I said, no, I'm going to keep this child. I'm not going to abort it. I'm going to keep this child. And so I had complications during that pregnancy. But I had her, and we were single for, I was single raising her for 10 years. I was still searching and for something, a higher power. But I knew that this God, I knew that if there was a God, he didn't love me. I had done too many horrific things for him to love me. I had, every time I pictured God, I pictured him turning his back on me, folding his arms like this, and turning his back on me, because I had done so many disgusted things and I participated in so many disgusted things as a child. I witnessed rituals and sacrifices as a child. I used my body and abortion, and I was a murderer, you know? And so I was afraid of God. And so by the time I was 24 years old, I had done so much, and I had met a guy. He was a Muslim, and I had my daughter, and he says, we started dating, and he said, come live with me. You can go to school. You can get your education. Come live with me. I'll take care of you and your daughter. And so I went to live with this Muslim guy. So I did, he wanted me to try to Islam. So I went to the mosque, tried to become a Muslim. It wasn't for me. I was too much of a woman's liver. I did not want to go cover myself. And so then I tried Judaism, Hinduism, Islam, New Age. So then I really got into New Age. I got a New Age guide, and she was showing me all kinds of different things that I could do to gain more power. I really got into dreams and, spells and love spells and I could move things, you know, like I got into where if there was the end of the carpet, I could concentrate on it enough and it would flip, and just things that were so intriguing to us humans, you know, because we have that power within us. And so, I was married to, then I married the Muslim, and we became pregnant, and he beat me up when I was 5 months pregnant. He beat me up, and the police were called, and he had to leave. They told him to leave. And then that night I began to bleed, and I went to emergency, and they couldn't find a heartbeat. They said, your baby has probably died. You need to go to your doctor and get a DNC. And this was like 32 years ago. And so they didn't do an ultrasound then. They just said that we don't hear a heartbeat. It died. And so the next day, I thought she had died. And so I called my Christian friend. She had been praying for me for many years to become a Christian. And she came out of the same background I did. So she knew it was possible to get out of it. And she was raised in the same neighborhood, but she had gotten saved. She became a Christian. And so I called her up and I said, this is what's going on. Can you come over? Can you pray for me? I said for the first time, can you pray for me? I was 25 years old. And so she came over and she sat with me. She anointed me with oil and she started praying for me. And for the first time, I cried out to God and I said, God, please save my baby. So my doctor scheduled an ultrasound for me. And well, first they said I needed the DNC for the, you know, to abort because it was a dead fetus. And I I said, can we do an ultrasound instead? And so I went to the hospital, had an ultrasound, and I couldn't look at the screen. I said, and the tech said, smiled at me and said, look. And when I looked, she was swimming around as if to say, I'm alive, mama. And so they said that from the fall, from being beat up, the placenta had ripped her out away from the uterus. And so I had to be bedridden for 2 weeks. And so I became bedridden. And while I had a cat during that time who passed away, and I was bedridden, and my sister came from California to help me out. My Muslim husband had left. And when I was 8 months, my Muslim husband divorced me. And 2 weeks later, I gave birth to a healthy baby girl.
This was a preview of today's member episode. If you want to hear the whole thing, head on over to theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the join button, and become a member.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
For today.